It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great Amber May show. Is here with topics you like out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
AMBERMAY, that's fly. AMBERMAY, that's why.
Time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great Amber May show. Is here with topics you like out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot. It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May show is here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome to the Amber May Show. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. I hope you enjoyed the interview I had with Congressman Trent Franks last week. If you missed it, you can always hop on my website, ambermayshow.com, and go to the podcast button, and there you can catch all the shows that you might have missed. But that was only part of the interview that I had with him. I had an entire hour with the congressman. And if you'd like to hear more about the congressman, you can go ahead to my website, theambermayshow.com, and purchase a More to the Show CD with a $4 donation. That helps basically to cover the cost of mailing the CD, and maybe if there's any leftover, it helps with the radio ministry. I also want to remind you that the Amber May Show Club will be launching very soon. I'm very excited about it. It's a really great thing to help everybody. We can't wait for the government to get us out of this recession. We have to do it ourselves. And by becoming a member of the club, you not only help me stay on the air, but you help keep businesses' doors open by using their products and services. And they help you by offering discounts to their products and services. So it really works. And the tagline to my show is, hey, look out for somebody else because someone else will look out for you. So that really demonstrates everyone's looking out for each other. You guys are helping me. I'm trying to help you. The businesses are helping you. The businesses are helping me. The whole goal is that everyone gets a benefit out of the show, out of the club. So please consider becoming a member. It will be launching in just a few more weeks. But as I was talking to the congressman, clearly God is moving in this country. Things are happening here. God's hand is definitely at work. And I've been reading Ezra lately, and I really didn't know what I was going to talk about. And I've been asking God, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to talk about? I could go on and talk about more politics and everything, and that's great because there is a need to get involved in our government. We have to, as believers, we can't just sit silent and do nothing. We have to get involved, whether we run for office or we just support the people that are in office, the good ones, and also be mindful of who we elect in office. We have to look at their values, what they stand for, and does it line up with God? That is very important for us as believers to have godly leaders in our country. Without godly leaders in our country, then who's leading us? Definitely not God if it's unbelievers leading us. And if unbelievers are leading us, then we're really in trouble. So I was looking at Ezra, and it's a book that I've never really read before. And something came to mind today. But I would like to talk to you a little bit about Ezra, just so you can get an idea of what this book's about, because some people really have no idea. Jeremiah talks about the destruction of Jerusalem and that King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon is going to, and basically the nation's going to be captured by a foreign military, a foreign government. Then we read in Daniel, which I thought was quite interesting. Daniel was obviously around during Jeremiah and the prediction and stuff like that. And he got taken just like the rest of them. And he was put in the king's court. So we could see through the Bible, the king's perspective, the people's perspective. It was quite interesting how that happened. So Ezra is basically post the capture of the nation. And now he's in charge of building the temple that was destroyed. And so here we go. I want to kind of read this for you to give you kind of a good understanding of where I'm coming from and where I'm going to go with this. Ezra was a priest, a scribe, a great leader, But I want you to know something about scribe. It meant a scholar of the law of Moses, the first recorded member of a special group in Judea. About 200 years before Ezra's time during the reform of Hezekiah. So he was well versed in the law of Moses. His name means help. And his whole life he was dedicated to serving God and God's people. Tradition says that Ezra wrote most of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Psalms 119. And that he led a council of 120 men who formed the Old Testament canon. He centers the narrative of the book of Ezra around God and his promise that the Jews would return to their land, as promised by Jeremiah. This message formed the core of Ezra's life. The last half of the book gives a very personal glimpse of Ezra. His king had appointed Ezra to lead the second immigration to Jerusalem to teach the people God's word and to administer. Ezra not only knew God's word, but he believed and obeyed it. Upon learning of the Israelite sin of intermarriage and idolatry, Ezra felt humiliated before God and prayed for the nation. Their disobedience touched him deeply. His response, help lead the people back to God. After arriving, they began to build the altar and the temple foundation, but opposition arose from the local inhabitants and a campaign of accusations and rumors temporarily halted the project. During this time, the prophets Haggai and Zechariah encouraged the people. You see that in chapter 5. But finally, Darius decreed, and if you remember in Daniel, we hear about Darius. Darius decreed that the work should proceed unhindered in chapter 6. After a 58-year gap, Ezra led a group of Jews from Persia, armed with decrees and authority from Artaxerxes I, and Ezra's task was to administer the affairs of the land, and we see that in chapter 7 and 8. But upon arriving, he learned of intermarriage between God's people and their pagan neighbors. He wept and prayed for the nation. Ezra's example of humble confession led to national revival. There's the key is where I'm getting at with this. National revival. What have I been talking about? Revival. And Ezra, a man of God, a true hero, was a model for Israel. He is a fitting model for us. I want you to read Ezra if you haven't had a chance. But the thing that stood out to me was chapter 10, the intermarriage between God's people and those of the pagans. You know, the word of God has this character that is made known and comes when man is most desperate over everything. When he thinks that nothing is less likely to happen than what the word of God says most certainly will happen. You see, it doesn't come to the lazy or the pleasure seekers. To them, it's a source of laughter. Rather, it comes to the weak and the oppressed, to those in need. These also finally receive it in such a way that all human boasting vanishes and nothing is credited to our own strength and energies, but all to God alone. You see, here the rebuilding of the temple is ordered against very powerful, very bitter foes. The command is given to weak people, few in numbers, a people against whom stand powerful princes, powerful nations, for the violence of neighboring people was such that the Jews were forced to build with one hand and to fight with the other to ward off the hostile nations. Yet against all these fierce and powerful foes, this one weak prophet here dares to rise up and prophesy about rebuilding the temple. So he orders his handful of people who had just recently been snatched from the most burdensome captivity to stand up against a mad and inflated king who didn't want them to rebuild the temple. Yet is the word of God which commands such things. And to do it, we must listen, even though the whole world may be against us. I say that to say this. We've been talking about revival this last month. Congressmen told us things are happening in Washington. It's because things we're doing, God's hand is moving. A couple weeks ago, I talked about Moslems with Pastor Jamel Bashara. I hope you went to his conference. If you didn't, you missed out. God is bringing Muslims here to the U.S. so we can be a witness to them and introduce them to the love of Jesus Christ in the safety of the United States of America, where they can convert to Christianity and not be killed for it, where we can give them the salvation message without the threat of death. God is moving here. But I want you to take a look at something. Our congressman mentioned it last week. I want you to listen to what he said.
You know, there was a lot of pressure on people not to sign the Declaration of Independence at that time. I mean, it was a scary thing because they, you know, you were in danger of being hung because it was called insurrection because you were going against the king. And yet these founding fathers, they believed the human rights shouldn't be in human hands. The human rights were gifts of God, and that should be placed in a rule of law to where everybody, the janitor and the senator, had equal rights.
Right.
You know, the right to live and to be free and to pursue your dreams. They believed that. And so they were willing to sacrifice their safety for the sake of making sure that you and I, Amber, can speak on the radio like this and speak in freedom, and live in the greatest country that the world has ever known. And they gave us so much. And it just breaks my heart sometimes that we're so willing to let go of the great principles that they gave everything they had to protect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am worried about that. I am concerned about it. I was reminded of Sam Adams' level of quote at the people of his day when this country was being fought for, you know, trying to draw other people that were more afraid of the king than they were of God, in a sense. And he said, well, if you love wealth more than liberty, if you love that tranquility of servitude more than the animating contest of freedom, go from us in peace. We seek not your counsel nor your arm. Crouch down and lick the hands that feed you. May your chains sit lightly upon you. And may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. Now, those are heavy words.
That is.
You know, he was saying, listen, if you don't have the love for freedom, then go. We don't need you.
Right.
And let yourself fall into, you know, slavery. We're going to fight, and we're hoping the country forgets that you were ever part of history. You know, those that you don't have the courage. Now, that was a call to arms, and a lot of people responded to it. Enough of them did that this little country, called the colonies, this little United Colonies, stood up against the most powerful military force in the entire planet at that time and prevailed by the grace of God. And it is an amazing story that beggars my ability to articulate, and yet we need to do it every day because it seems like, as one of the founding fathers said, that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. If we're going to keep freedom, we have to keep on being ready to fight for it.
The people who signed the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States was at war against one of the world power at the time. But God was directing them to do something. And these men did as God directed them. They wanted to flee from religious persecution so they can worship God freely and openly, without the fear of retribution. God wanted us to be a free people. In the Bible, he didn't want to have kings over his people. But the people who didn't know, who thought they knew what they wanted, like teenagers, think about it like that, said, no, God, you're wrong. We're right, and we want a king. So he put kings over them. But God said, you know, the kings are going to tax you. They're going to take your children. They're going to go fight in wars. You don't want it. Let me be your ruler. Let me be the head of your country. But they said no. So we have government. And the beautiful thing about our country is the founding fathers formulated this country to where the people would be in charge. Where, yeah, they'd have government just to keep things under control, to keep things organized, But really, the people, the citizens of America, were in charge. The citizens of America had the power, because it was very important to God to have his people have a place where they can worship him. We see in the Old Testament that God was setting up Jerusalem again so his people can worship him freely, without retribution, so that they could be set apart and not live in sinful ways like the pagans did. So just as our forefathers went against the world power to have freedom to worship God, God gave and moved the hearts of the kings of the world powers during the time of Ezra to give them a place back to where they can have fellowship with God, a relationship with God, and worship God freely. But there's something you have to take into consideration while this is going on, is that some of the people from Judah went against God's commandments and intermarried with the pagans. That really stopped me for a while. I looked at that, that's interesting, because Ezra was so torn up about it. Why did he care so much? Why was he so upset and crying and just so angry that the people went against God's commands? Why did it mean so much to him? It's because Ezra was trying to remove sin from the society. It's faith in action. The urging of Israel's leaders motivated the people to complete the temple. Over the years, they had intermarried with idol worshippers and adopted their pagan practices. Do you see that? They adopted their pagan practices. What has us as believers have done? Have we adopted pagan practices in our country from others that don't believe the way we do? Are we living with someone we're not married to? Are we sleeping with our boyfriend and girlfriends? Are we going out and witnessing to people? Are we watching pornography? Are we adopting the pagan rituals and beliefs? Are we doing as the pagans do? Is there a difference between us and the pagans? Can people see a difference between the Christians and non-Christians? That's the whole thing. And Ezra was torn up over that. The fact that they started adopting pagan rituals, started practicing pagan worship. That's something that we have to consider in our country and in our hearts. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. That is the key to everything. That was the key to Jeremiah, telling the Israelites, repent. I want a relationship with you. God just wants a relationship with us. That's why he gave our forefathers this country, so he can have a free relationship with us. That's why he let the Israelites go out of captivity to have a relationship with him again, to restore that. Their faith was tested and revived, and it also led to the removal of their sins from their lives. Faith led them to complete the temple and to remove sin from their society. As we trust God with our hearts and minds, we must also act by completing our daily responsibilities. It is not enough to say we believe. We must make the changes God requires us. We must follow the precepts of God. We have to. If we want this country to get back to where we want it to be and God's moving, if we want a revival, we have to do what God asks us to do. Keep our marriage beds pure. There's a whole section in Chronicles about being sexually pure, about being pure in general. We need to start focusing on being pure. We need to focus on ministry work. And next week I'm going to have a prison ministry come on to the to our show and talk about how he got involved with ministry. And we need to make sure that we take sin from our society. Ezra did that. Ezra tried so hard. He was just so upset on how it was, how God looked at them and how that would break their relationship with God. That should be our most important thing ever, is our relationship with God. I really want you to read Ezra. I want you to see if you're getting the same thing I am. The powerful, miraculous God that led, that took his people out of his captors' hands to build a temple so he can restore a relationship with his people. God wants to restore a relationship with you and with this nation. We need a pure nation again. We need to get pure. We need to get involved in ministry. We need to get involved in politics. We need to make pure legislation. What do I mean by that? Well, God says it's not right for two men to sleep together, two women to sleep together. We need to have that legislation, you know, one man and one woman in marriage, end of story. God does not like murder. Thou shall not murder. Thou shall not murder. Pass legislation that we end abortion. These are precepts of God. And it's going to take believers to get that into our country. Those are just examples of things that we need to do. But the most important thing we need to do is get involved in ministry. And what ministry are you going to get involved in? What are you going to do? I want to ask you to sit before God this week and pray and talk to him and say, hey, what talents did you put in me that I could use for your kingdom? I personally don't have a fear of public speaking, hence why I can get on the radio and give messages that God tells me to tell people. These aren't things that I come up with on my own because I can't. Some weeks I just sit there, I'm like, God, I have nothing. What am I going to tell these people? And he'll give me something. You just have to ask. So I'm using my talent of not being afraid to publicly speak to bring the messages of God to the masses. What's your talent? What can you do? What did God put in you? God says he knows the plans he has for you. Plans not to harm you, but plans to prosper you, to give you hope in a future. He put talents in you. He spent a lot of time creating you. He knew you before you entered your mother's womb. He knows how many hairs are on your head. And most important, he died just for you, so you can have a relationship with him in heaven. Death is the separation of God from God. And the only way to get to God is through Jesus. So how are you going to get that message out to people? What is going to be your ministry? That's what I'd like you guys to focus on. Figuring out what is your ministry. Making your homes and yourself pure. And if you do that to yourself, that gives us one step closer to making this country pure. How do you eat an elephant? One spoonful at a time. How do you clean up the country? One person at a time. Start with yourself. Get before God. Ask what your ministry is. Because that's what we're going to be talking about next week. Remember, instead of thinking about yourself, number one, think about number two, someone else. Just like our forefathers thought about us. Because eventually, number two will look out for you.
Little eyes, It's the second glance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For it's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white turn to gray and thoughts invade. Choices are made, a price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow always near. Be careful, little lips, what you say. For empty words and promises lead broken hearts astray.
Whenever I need to buy new shoes, I always go to Foot Locker. That's why I am so excited to be able to get you a discount at footlocker.com for your next purchase of shoes or apparel. When you visit footlocker.com and use promo code AFAMBER3, you will receive 15% off your total purchase. This discount could not come at a better time. I know we are all doing what we can to save money. So please visit footlocker.com and use promo code AFAMBER3. That's A as in Adam, F as in Frank, AMBER3 for 15% off your total purchase at checkout.